Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Mabez, three lines from the bottom. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Shloish Mekaymes Nosu Kohanim Esaron. Even though normally the Torah tells us that it is the obligation of it is the mitzvah of the Leviim to carry the Aron Kodesh, says the Gemara, these three places. The Kohanim carried it. Kshavra Yarden, as we learned, when Klal Yisrael went through the Yarden as they entered Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, Kshiba es Yerichai. The first city that was captured, that was taken in Eretz Yisrael was the city of Yerichai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua that they should encircle the city of Yerichai for 60 days. And they should carry the Aron and seven Kohanim should blow the shofar. All of that was part of the procedure in taking the city of Yerichai. And here too, that it was the Kohanim who carried the Aron at that time. And as we're going to be learning in our Shiurim, when they brought in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the Aron from Ir David into the Beis Hamikdash, into Kodesh Kodeshim, after it was in Shiloh, and just to give quickly an overview, what happened with the Aron. The Psukim and Shmuel teach us that in the time of Eli, when Klal Yisrael went out to war with the Plishtim prevailed, and they took the Aron. And the Pasuk says, wherever the Plishtim brought the Aron, the people of that location suffered. And that's when the Plishtim decided to return the Aron to Klal Yisrael, and they sent it to the era Beit Shemesh. Klal Yisrael, at that time in Beit Shemesh, sent the Aron to the home of Aminadav, who lived in Kiryas Yearim. And now that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, the Aron was in Beis Aminadav for 20 years. David HaMelech then wanted to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, but as we're going to be learning, Uzai died in the transportation of that Aron David did not want to therefore continue in bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. He left it in the home of Beis Oved Edom HaGittai, who was a Levi, who treated the Aron with tremendous respect, as we're going to learn. And he and his family were blessed because of that. And after 6 months that the Aron was in the home of Oved Edom HaGittai, David HaMelech brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, to Ir David, and that's where the Aron was until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and had the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which is, of course, the place where the Aron belongs. And here the Gemara is teaching us that at that time, when the Aron was brought there, it was brought by Kohanim carrying the Aron. Says the Gemara, Kimin Shnitla, now the Gemara goes back to what happened as Klal Yisrael went through the Yarden. So says the Gemara, Kivin Shetiblu Ragli Kahanim B'mayim, as soon as the Kahanim entered the water, Chazra Mayim L'Achareyim, the water started going backwards. Shenema, Ukuva Noise Aron Ara Yarden, when the people were carrying the Aron approach to the Yarden, it says, the Pasuk, V'yamdu HaMayim HaYardim Amala, the place where the Kahanim stood, the water which was flowing down stopped. And the Pasuk says, Kamuneir Echad, they stood still in one pillar. And the Chazon Yecheskel says, what do we see from here? We see the power of the Torah. He says, if we remember, and we're going to be learning this in now coming Shurim, what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? The Nachshon ben Aminadav had to jump into the water, and only after Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the water, that's when the water stood still. So the yam split. Here, all of this wasn't necessary. So the Chazon Yecheskel explains there's a very fundamental difference what Chus Klai Yisrael had by Kriyas Yamsuf versus what Chus Klai Yisrael had in this time. By Kriyas Yamsuf, he explains, the Chus that Klai Yisrael had was Amunah. Here, the Chus that Klai Yisrael had, it wasn't just the Chus, it was they were carrying the Torah. And the power of the Torah is that they didn't even have to jump in. The water by itself stood. Says the Gemara, the Kama Govin Shalmayim, we just said that the water stood still. So ask the Gemara, how tall was it? Says the Gemara, Shnei Masumil, Kenegan Machne Yisrael. It was the same area as the Machne Yisrael, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon has a problem with this opinion. Lidvarecha, according to your opinion, Adam Kal or Mayim Kalim? He asks a question, what is easier to flow, a person or water? Have Eimer, we certainly would believe the Mayim Kalim, the water flows easier than people. Im Kain, Bar HaMayim V'Shaitfin HaSoy, says according to you that the water only was 12 mil tall, it should have to be that after the water reached that 12 mil, it started to flow again, and they didn't finish walking. Klai Yisrael did not finish walking. So why would they not burn the shirt from the side? Burn a mind the shirt from the side. Why would they not drown? Ella, Melamed Shayimayim, Nigdashiv, Oilim, Kipel, Kipen. We must learn that the water was even taller. The water was rising higher and higher. Yois Mishlesh Meis Mil, more than 300 mil tall. Until all the kings of the world on the east and the west saw what was going on here. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hi kishmoy kamalcha amari asher be'eva ayad and yomay v'kamalcha k'nan asher asher alamayim asher hovish Hashem esmei ayardim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had dried the water of the yardim of Nebnei Yisrael at Avram. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for them as they passed the yardim v'yimas levavam, their hearts melted, they no longer had any spirit. Klai Yisrael was so, they were so impressed with Bnei Yisrael because of Klai Yisrael, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for him, us. Says the Gemara, V'af Rochav Azayna, we find that Pinchas and Kalev were sent by Yeshua to spy the land of Eretz Yisrael, and they stayed in the home of Rochav Azayna. It says the Pasuk, we have a similar experience that Rochav Azayna says to Rochav Azayna, says to them, to Shluchei Yeshua, to Pinchas and Kalev, who are Yeshua's messengers, Kishmanu, here they heard about, she was talking about, she heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, Kishmanu, Ashahiyav, Shashem Asmei Yamsuf, Viksiv, and there too, Rochav says their reaction was, so this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. So Tosfos asks a question that here the Gemara says that it was Shlosh Meis Mil from the height of the pillar of water. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara says that the entire distance from this world to next world to the Shemayim is Shalosh Pesos. So how can we say with Shlosh Meis Mil? So the Maritz Chayis quotes the Rashbam that says that this is not to be taken literally. It wasn't that tall. What the Gemara is trying to show is how high up the water went. And furthermore, the Sefer Torah HaKenaz says that it must have been a clear day, because if there were clouds reaching the sky, the kings that we just referred to could not have seen what happened, and then of course nothing was accomplished where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make this Kiddush Hashem. Others say that in the water, the Yerushalmi, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, that the water did not just reach the sky, the water went all the way up deeper into the Rakia, and that's why it took up so much, space. And I saw that the Sefer Kamavasa says that even though Rachav's story, as we explained, is speaking about Kriyas Yamsuf, and our Gemara is speaking about the Yarden, the point of the Gemara is to teach us that in both of these situations, there was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and not only was there a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, but it caused that the entire world should show such tremendous respect to Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says by Yeshua, "V'kahanim noisei aron omdim toicha yardein." The pasuk says by this passing through the yardein, the kahanim were carrying the aron omdim toicha yardein, were standing in the yardein. At time kol adava shetziv Hashem as Yeshua adaver elam kechol asher tziv Moshe Yeshua v'mar am v'yavayru oidem be yardein. So says the Gemara, while Klal Yisrael was still in the Yarden, Amlam Yeshua. Yeshua started telling them, "Do amatam avisa Yarden. Why are you passing through the Yarden? Amanas shatarishu shayosh eretz v'pneichem, that you should conquer the land. Shenemar v'rashtemus kol yosh v'eretz v'pneichem. Imatam avisa kain. If you're going through the Yarden with the proper intention, mutav, fantastic. V'mlav. But if that won't be your intention as you go through the Yarden, by mayim v'shaytchusam. The water will come and drown you. V'shoytvim, but the pasuk says, oisichem. What is the definition of oisichem? My oisichem, oisiveschem. You and I will all together be drowned. We learned in the Mishnah that they took stones. So now the Gemara begins to discuss the procedure of taking the stones. Says the Gemara, Oidim v'yardim. Again, while they were still in the Yarden, Amlam Yeshua, Yeshua said to them, Harim lechem ish even achas ashichmai. Each one of you should pick up a stone and put it on their shoulder. Lemisbar shiftei bnei Yisrael, according to the amount of shvatim that there are in Klal Yisrael, which means 12. V'ksev lemantia zois bekirchem. This should be a sign amongst you. Ki shalom bneichem malcha lemer. When your children will ask you, Ma'ava and Ve'elchem, what will be the purpose for you? Similar bottom, this will be a sim to your children, that to remember the tremendous nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, Sha'asu, Sha'avra Yisrael Yardim, that Klal Yisrael went through the Yardim. So I saw this is the concept of Masi Oves, similar bottom. And I saw that the Ramban explains that every nace that happened by our Ovis didn't just happen by the Ovis because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen by the Ovis. Of course, that was the intention. But because our Ovis experienced these nisim, we, the future generations, are able to have the same type of nisim. So what Yeshua was saying to Klal Yisrael, you, Klal Yisrael, will need to rely on Nisim as you go through your history. If you want to be able to survive and experience Nisim, the way you will be able to survive and experience Nisim is because your others already experienced Nisim. Oidim v'yardim. So continues the Gemara. Oidim v'yardim, while in the yardim, Amal Yeshua, Yeshua said to them, Sulucha mizem mitoicha yardim, mimatzav ragli kahanim, pick up from where the Kahanim are standing. Hochein shteim esrei avonim. Prepare to pick up 12 stones. Vavartem isem imochem, and you should carry them with you. Vinachtem isem imolim ashatil nevay alayla, and you should bring them to where you will stay overnight. Yocho says the Gemara become molim alaylan, and you can leave it anywhere. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says tamaloymer ashatilinu ba halayla, the place where you will be tonight, which was in Gilgal. Amr Rav Yosef, Abba Chalifta Rav Elazar ben Maaseh v'Chananya v'Chaknoi, Omdu Aloysim Avonim. They wanted to know the size of those stones. V'shurim, and they were able to determine the Kol Achas V'Achas, that each one of those stones, Shkula Kaboim Sa, weighed 40 Sa. V'Gemiri, It continues the Gemara to say, Chazal have taught us the tuna de madli inch lekasve, something that somebody picks up by himself, picks it up by himself without anyone helping him pick it up. The telusa de tuna chavi. It's much harder if you pick something up by yourself versus if somebody helps you and puts it on your shoulder. When somebody, the weight of what you could have to pick up when you carry yourself is a third if somebody else would help you. And I saw that the Sefer Hachama explains that if so, why wasn't this the case here, that people should help other people pick up the stones? So he says that then it wouldn't be such a nace. And in order to show and want that it should be a big nace, everybody had to pick it up, says the Gemara. So a person could carry by himself 40 saw. Mikan, so says the Gemara, based on that calculation, at the Mechashev Eshkoil, we all remember when Klal Yisrael, when the Meraglim went into the Midbar, they each carried stones on their Eshkoil, grapes. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'yava nachal ashkol v'yichrusam misham zmeira v'eshkol anovim echad v'yisu b'moit mishnayim." Says the Gemara, "Mimash mishnayim b'moit." If the pasuk says it was carried with these beams, with these poles, helping them carry it, any hadayi shnei mishnayim, a moit means you have two people carrying the pole. Matam aloyim mishnayim. Why was it necessary for the pasuk to say mishnayim to teach us b'shnei moitus? The clusters of grape was so big that they needed to have two poles to carry each one of those poles. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, the way those grapes were carried by the Meraglim were tortani, was something that was carried with two poles, the tortani, the tortani, and then two more poles. Ha Ketzad, Shmoina, it took eight Meraglim, Nasus HaEshkol, to carry the Eshkol Echad, to carry the Eshkoil. Echad Nasarimon, one of the Meraglim carried a pomegranate, Vechad Nasatena, and one of them carried a date, Yeshuva Kolom Lenasaklum. And Yeshuva Kolom didn't carry anything. Why not? Ibai Seyma, one reason to explain was Meshum Dechshivi, because they were the most significant of the Meraglim, and therefore they didn't, it was not honor, it was not to their covet that they should carry. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu had told them to bring Paris from Eretz Yisrael, when Yeshua and Kalev saw that what their intention with bringing this fruit was, that they're going to use it to convince Klal Yisrael not to enter Eretz Yisrael, when Yeshua and Kalev saw that was their goal, that's when Yeshua and Kalev decided that we're not going to be part of this. Another pshat that I saw, that when Moshe Rabbeinu told them to take from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, the reason he told them was that, again, he didn't want that they should draw any attention. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu taught that they should take fruit, and people will think they're just business people who had came to buy fruit. They did not intend, Moshe Rabbeinu's intention was never that they should bring the fruit to the Midbar. And that's why they did not participate in bringing the fruit. Says the Gemara, so we had a machlokes earlier, how tall did that water in the Yarden get up to? Was it 12 mil? That was the opinion of Yehuda. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon said it was 300 mil. It says the Gemara, plagued by Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. We have a machlokes of Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Charam l'divrei Rav Yehuda. One said, according to Yehuda, that the water went up 12 mil. K'chaniyasun avru. Klal Yisrael passed through the Yarden the same way the camp of Klal Yisrael. And just like Klal Yisrael's camp was 12 mil, so too that the water reached up 12 mil. L'divrei Rav Elazar of Shimon, however, according to the opinion of Elazar of Shimon, b'zeh achazeh avru, they went through in a single file. And since they went through in a single file, they took up much more room. Charamar, Beimar, or Beimar. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, hold that the way Klal Yisrael passed through the water was Kachaniyah Sanavru, the way that they were encamped. Mar, Rabbi Yehuda ever holds, Adam Kal, a person can walk as quickly as the water goes up, and therefore they did not need that the water should go up more than 12 mil. Or Masavar, as Rabbi Shimon said earlier in our shir, water travels quicker than people, and therefore if the water was only up to 12 mil, it would have flooded them because they couldn't have passably passed that quickly through the yarding. As we just mentioned, the story of the Meraglim, the Gemara discusses those psukim. The pasuk says that Moshe, that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Shlach lecha anoshim." Amrei Shlakish, "Shlach lecha." When Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Bedatcha, I'm not interested in this shlichus, but if this is what you want to do, do so." Says the Gemara, because what Kadosh Baruch Hu meant to say, "V'chi Adam ze." If would somebody pick something not good? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to go to Eretz Yisrael, it must be that Eretz Yisrael is fantastic. That's what the pasuk says. Vayita be'enei adavar. Moshe Rabbeinu has reports to Klal Yisrael what was the history in Parshas Devarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu makes the comment vayita be'enei adavar. What Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say was, "Be'enai, I thought this was a good thing." V'loy be'enav shamakim. So I saw that the Sefer Beis Pinchas says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that I don't think it's a good idea to send the Meraglim. I know that they may say the wrong thing about Eretz Yisrael, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, lecha shlach lecha, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the tremendous onav, the most modest person in the world, the most humble person in the world, did not believe that anybody could ever do something like that. He thought that just like he would never do something like that, no one else in the world would ever do something like that. And that's why, according to his personality, he thought there was nothing wrong to say. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Iyun Yaakov, that we know, the Medrash says, that one of the reasons the Meraglim did what they did is because they knew as they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to be the Nesim anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot believe that somebody, for his own parochial reasons, to remain the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, would do something like that. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Moshe Rabbeinu will not be the ones to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know that. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ladatcha, according to what you think, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael." So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe Rabbeinu had led them into Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim could not have done anything to hurt Klal Yisrael. The problem was that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that. The Ramban asks, so if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the problem here. Moshe Rabbeinu is the problem, that why did he send the Meraglim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara just said, Amar Ish Lakish, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, "Be'enai v'loy be'enav shamakim." I thought it was a good idea, but not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael, approached Moshe Rabbeinu just like anyone who goes into a country that they want to see what's going on. And Moshe Rabbeinu's first reaction was a positive reaction, because we know, Ein Soimchim El Alnes. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that what they meant was very sincere. They knew they were going to hold war, and they wanted to prepare themselves properly. It was never in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind that they should not, that their intentions weren't honorable. The Tosfos Rosh brings an interesting medrash. The Tosfos Rosh quotes a medrash that he says, if somebody wants to buy something from someone else, and the buyer approaches the seller, And he asked the seller, could I test drive? Could I test this what I want to buy? If the seller says no, then the buyer is concerned. If the seller, however, says sure, no problem, part of what's going through the seller's mind is if the seller is so willing to let the buyer test it, it must be that the seller knows that this is a fantastic product. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu was convinced. The fact that he gave the Meraglim, he gave Klal Yisrael permission to go look at Eretz Yisrael, that would convince them that there's no problem here. And Eretz Yisrael is fantastic. But his calculation was wrong. And what they did was that they said, you want to let us go? We want to go. The pasuk says, Nishlucha anoshim lefaneinu v'yachburu lanu es ha'aretz. Amram chibar abba, Meraglim lo niskavnu el leboishtish l'Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim wanted to see the bed of Eretz Yisrael. V'ksiv hacha v'yachburu lanu es ha'aretz. V'ksiv hasam, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'chofer alvana uboisha chama. And the sun and moon, all those that will worship them, will be ashamed. Why, asked the Sefer Torah's Kanaz, are we convinced that the Meraglim had such terrible, Klal Yisrael and the Meraglim had such terrible intention? He says, because the pshat in the Gemara is that this was a nevuah, that they knew that the pasuk is telling us that this is what's going to be the end of this story. Ve'el Shmaisim, and the pasuk lists the name of the Meraglim. Lamate Ruvin Shemua ben Zakur. Am Rabbi Yitzchak. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, Dovez HaMesoyrus B'Yedeinim HaVisenu. We have a Mesoyrah. Meraglim Hashem HaSeim Nikru. That all the names of the Meraglim are very much connected to what they did. V'anolai also B'Yedeinu. But he says, I was only able to figure out Ela Echad, how the name corresponds to what happened. The pasuk says, Lamati Usher Sasur ben Michal. Why was his name Sasur ben Michal? Sasur Shasasa Masav Shakarish Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned on bringing Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and he thwarted that plan. Michal Shasa Atzmei Mach. Because what he said was that as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom is Mach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poor, that's why he can't accomplish of bringing the Klal Yisrael into the Meraglim. And the Eitz Yosef explains, what makes the Gemara explain the Gemara this way, the Pasuk this way? He says that the Pasuk says, Ve'elu Shemaisam. Why was it necessary for the Pasuk to give us this introduction, Ve'elu Shemaisam? And actually, I saw that the Mashal says, not only does it say, Elish Shmaisam at the beginning of the parsha of the Meraglim, it also says the words Elish Shmaisa Anoshim at the end of the parsha. Why does the Torah keep on repeating the Elish Shmaisam? It must be to teach us this way. The Karen Ira explains what the Gemara means to say is, how could such a terrible happen? We know that the Pasuk says, all the Medrashim say that these Meraglim were great people. So if they were such great individuals, how did this happen? So the Karanira explains that there are tzaddikim who are tzaddikim from when they're born, and what they're supposed to do is to maintain that tzaddikus. There's another type of tzaddik, is that he didn't necessarily start as a tzaddik. He worked on himself until he became a tzaddik. Says the Karanira, such a tzaddik, his job of keeping his tzidkus is much more difficult. And that's what Rabbi Yitzchak means to say, that they had a Messiah, that El Shmaisam, that they weren't so great, and they made themselves into tzaddikim, and that's why when this Nesoyin happened, they weren't able to maintain. Another pshat that the Iyam says, the Torah is here to teach us a lesson for life. What the Torah means to teach us is that when somebody comes to you and he gives a plan, he has intentions, and superficially it looks like their intentions are fantastic, it's not that way. What really it means you have to really examine and see, is the person really have the right intention? Another pshat that I saw, the Gemara says, Sasur, Sasur Masav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. What that means is that ultimately, from the story of the Meraglim, all of the tzaris that Klal Yisrael have experienced all emanate from the story of the Meraglim. And with the Gemara, until ultimately, as we know, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara says it all began from this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so says Rabbi Yochanan, Af Anu Noimar. We also could explain. Nachbi Ben Vavsi, one of the other Meraglim was Nachbi Ben Vavsi. Nachbi, Shehichbi Tvarev Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He tried to hide what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was to take us successfully into Eretz Yisrael. He tried to hide that. Vavsi Shapisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amidash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He trampled the mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always says the truth. Hashem Elkeim Emes. And what he did was that he said something which is not true. So I saw that the two Shvatim that the name were mentioned here, that the Gemara was able to explain the name, were from Shevet Asher and from Naphtali. The Sefer L'Shmoy L'Mudim says it to teach us how ironic this is. Because these two Shvatim, their share in Eretz Yisrael, their territory in Eretz Yisrael, was from the best territory. The Pasuk says, Moshe Shemein Alachma. The Pasuk says, Naphtali Svarotzen Omali Birch Hashem. So they had the most to gain from entering Eretz Yisrael, and they were the ones that said bad about Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says in the Parshas Meraglim, V'yal b'negav v'yava at chevron. Says the Gemara that v'yavayu, if they all went to Meraglim, shouldn't have the Pasuk says v'yavayu mi'bayalei, amarava, melamed shepirish kolam atzas Meraglim, Kolayv separated himself from all the Meraglim, nishtatech al kivrei avos, and he went to be mispalel in the Maror Samachbela. And he said to them, a voice I, big shul I rachmim, dam for me, shenatza matzas meraglim. He saw what is going to happen, and that's why he went to Mimispal there, that they should help him, that he should not fall into that trap. Yeshua, so Yeshua, why didn't he have to go to Hebron? We know that Yeshua did not participate, so shouldn't Yeshua also have gone to Hebron to daven like Kalev did? Says the Gemara, Kfar Bikesh Moshe of Rachmim, Moshe Rabbeinu was inspired for Kalev, Shnem Avyikah Moshe L'Shur Benun Yeshua. He added the word, he added the letter Yud to daven for him, the Ka Yoshiacha Matzas Meraglim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save you not to fall in to that trip. The Ramban explains, what does this mean? So Ramban explains, because till now, the Pasuk says that Yeshua's name was always Hoshea. But because Moshe Rabbeinu knew what's going to happen, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to daven for Yeshua. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Yeshua more than he daven for any of the other Meraglim? So, Deis Yosef explains that Yeshua was a descendant of Yosef. And we remember that Yosef was the one that brought the report about the Shvatim to Yaakov Avinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that Yeshua came from a place that people speak badly. And that's why he felt that he needs a special Shmira. The Targum Yonason explains that Yeshua was very modest. And because he was very modest, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that he would just follow everybody else. Another pshat that Karen Eyer explains, that the Arizal says that the Avos went along with the Meraglim to protect them, that they shouldn't do the wrong thing. Shevet Yosef, we know, was divided into Menashe and Ephraim. So the Arizal says that Yosef accompanied Shevet Menashe, the older of the two brothers. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he has to give Yeshua a special bracha because he did not have Yosef helping him. The Maral gives an interesting pshat. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a special connection to Yeshua. Yeshua was Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he felt that if Yeshua will end up doing the wrong thing, not only will it be a bad reflection on Moshe Rabbeinu, it would be also a bad reflection. It would be also a bad reflection on Moshe Rabbeinu. Another pshat is that a father has the ability with his tefillah to help a son. But that's a special schus that a father has for a son. And that's the same of a Rebbe for a Talmud. All the other Meraglim were not Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu. So since they weren't Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel that his tefillah could be so helpful. But Yeshua, who was Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, that's the person that Moshe Rabbeinu felt. We also know that the Gemara explains, from where did Maram Sechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph explains, where did Moshe Rabbeinu have the letter Yud to put on Yeshua's name? Because we know that the name of Sarah was originally Sarai, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the Yud and put on the Hay. So that extra Yud was added to Yeshua's name. That was the Yud that gave him the schus to continue. Another pshat is that the 10 Meraglim were with a bad plan. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says this pshat, knew that if he'll give Yeshua this extra Yud, that extra Yud will be able to help him fight the 10 Meraglim to withstand the 10 Meraglim. Another pshat that I saw, that till now he was called Hosheya, but he says the Ksav Sofer that now that Yeshua was becoming a Manig Yisrael, a leader of Klal Yisrael, needs special Siyata D'Shmaya. Because a Manig Yisrael needs special Siyata D'Shmaya, that's why he called him Yeshua. He said, you need to have that special Siyata D'Shmaya. Another pshat that I saw from the Sar Sholem from Bells is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yeshua actually did not want Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael, because Yeshua knew that he will be the one to lead them and not Moshe Rabbeinu. And he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to continue leading them. So that's why he was more concerned about anyone else than he was more concerned about Yeshua saying bad about Eretz Yisrael more than anyone else. The Meshech Chachma says that Yeshua knew what it means to have war against the enemy. Yeshua was the one that participated with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mechama with Amalek. And therefore, since Yeshua participated in the Mechama with Amalek, he knew that Yeshua's voice is the voice that people will pay more attention to than everybody else. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yeshua, I'm most concerned that you should be the person to say anything bad, and I'm going to misspell that you shouldn't. The Das Sofer says, as we said a moment ago, Yeshua received the Yud from the name of Sarah. If we look at Sarah, Sarah was the one that told Avram Avinu what will be with Yishmael. Sarah Imenu represents the individual that sees the future, that sees the repercussions of what we do. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yeshua, you should pay attention. Every word what you're going to say is going to be accepted and can have very serious repercussions. And therefore he said, Kol Yoshiacha Matzas Meraglim, you're a person with much influence. Don't use that influence in a negative way. So our Gemara here taught us that Kalev went to be Mespala on the Kvarm of the Ovis and Maros Machpelis. The Rishonim already discuss being mespalel in a basic forest. The Torah tells us we're not allowed to be doirish el amesim. So there are Rishonim that say Yeshua did not daven to the mesim, the caliph did not daven to the mesim. What the point of going to basic forest is that the basic forest is a mokum kadosh. And since it's a mokum kadosh, that's the place to daven. The Morel says that one goes to be mespowel at a basic forest, he's not supposed to daven towards the people who are buried there. What he's supposed to say is that he's supposed to say in the schus of the people who bury there, in their schus, we should have a Yeshua. The Michsalaza says, what Darish al-Masim means that a cemetery where people are buried is a place of tumah. And what it means to say is that Darish al-Masim means that when you go to a cemetery where there are people who are buried, so therefore you, kechas v'shalom, connect yourself to tumah. And that's why you have to be careful not to connect yourself to the tumah that's in a base in a cemetery. But if, like Kalev, as we find in our Gemara, when Kalev went to the cemetery, he was being mispalel to the kedush of Avavis, and no way did he chas v'shalom try to connect himself to tumah. If your intention when you go to a cemetery is in no way to connect yourself to tumah, of course, then it's fine. More than that, the Paiskim suggest that there's a point to daven at the kvarim where people usually don't go to be mespalel. And the reason why there's more of a point to daven at such kvarim is because the tzaddikim who are buried want their descendants and want people to come daven in those places. And if somebody comes to daven there, they are very appreciative of somebody who remembers them. And since they're so appreciative of who remembers them, they take the tefillahs to the Kisei HaKovet. There is also a discussion about going to kvarim of parents that one hasn't gone to for quite a while. The Divrei Chaim did not go to his parents, to his father's kever, because for whatever reason, for 10 years, he had not visited that kever, and therefore he says, once I hadn't been there for 10 years, I'm not going. Others say, once you haven't visited for 7 years, you shouldn't go. And another opinion that I saw is that if you haven't visited the kever for 20 years, you shouldn't go. And says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'avdi kolev ekev hoysa ruach echeres imoho. Imoi, kolev went against all the other meraglim. And the Pasuk says, as they visit Etz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, V'sham achimon sheshi v'talmai. And the Gemara explains these names. Says the Gemara, Sheshai achimon meyumen shebeyachav. From all of them, he was the strongest. Sheshai meisim as aris kishchosis. He was so big and strong that when he walked on the earth, he made holes in the earth. Another pshat that I saw is that he could only walk on marble earth, because if he walked on sand, he would just dig it up and destroy it. Talmei mesim saris tulamim tulamim. When he walked on the earth became furrows. Davacha achimam bana anas, sheishai bana olush, talmei bana talbish, yelidik anak. They were so tall, shemenikim cham bekamasim. The Gemara says, v'chemin shevisham nivnasa lefnei tzoyin mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, describing Chevron, it was built 7 years lefnei Tzoyim Mitzrayim. What does Nivnasam mean? Ilayim and Nivnasam Amish. So says the Gemara, if you'll say what it means, that city was built for 7 years earlier, says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Efsha Adam Bayin Abayis Abnoya Kotten, would somebody build a home for his younger son, Koinel Abnoya Gadol, before his older son? Cham was the father of Canaan and Mitzrayim. And Cham was the youngest. The Ksiv of Bnei Cham, Kushim Mitzrayim, Kushim Mitzrayim were the youngest. Ella, Paisum Avuna, Alechem Mishiva, Shibitzayim. It was seven times nicer than Tzoyim. And that makes the Gemara an interesting comment. Ein lecha terushim b'chol Eretz Yisrael. There's no land which is not good in Eretz Yisrael ke mechevron. And that's why the cover by Shichvi. That's why they bury people in Chevron, because since it's not really great land, it's used as a cemetery. Shenemar, and the ve'en lecha me'ula b'chol Eretz Yosim Eretz Mitzrayim. There's no better fertile country than Eretz Mitzrayim. Shenemar, the pasuk says kegan Hashem k'Eretz Mitzrayim. And says the Gemara, ve'en lecha me'ula b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. When we think about Mitzrayim, the best part of Mitzrayim is Tzoyin. The ksiv kahoy b'tzoyin tzorov. Vafila hocha chevron mavuna echad meshiv b'tzoyinim. Chevron, which is the poorest part of Eretz Yisrael, is 7 times better than the best part of Mitzrayim. Ask the Gemara, the chevron trushim having, was chevron a place, a poor property? The ksiv himikates abayim shana. After 40 years, as Avshalom was planning to rebel against David HaMelech, v'yom Avshalom HaMelech el chana, I made a neder, let me go to the Bama and Chevron, that's where I'll bring it. Bama Rav Avya, Vitem Rav Barachanan, Holach Lavi Kvasim Mechevron. He went to bring animals from Chevron. Vitanya, Elim Mimoyav and Kvasim Mechevron. So we see that Chevron is a very good land. Answers the Gemara, Idi the Klish Ara, because it's poor property of the Raya, they used it for place to take the animals, for shaman kinyonai, and that's how the animals will get fat by walking on that land. They don't care if animals walk on that land because the land isn't strong enough or good enough to plant.